I think you're known for doing this on our episodes, is getting on little soapboxes. I'm gonna do one for a
Yeah.
second, just for all the women in the
Oh,
audience.
okay. Good,
Hey,
good.
hey, girl.
Lucy, I'm home.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I am your co-host, Erica.
And I'm Siva.
And today, it's almost like a deja vu of talking about the lost pilot, because that's where this was taken from. And this is the episode called The Audition. And this was aired on November 19th, 1951.
Yes, and it was filmed October 12th, 1951, just a few days before the series premiered on television, because it premiered October 15th, 1951.
I just love this episode. And what I love is, we all know the voice that she does when she's wearing the suit, you know, the deep raspy thing she goes into just when she's trying to make another character come alive. I love that. But
I seriously, I could just watch that over and over. I mean, I was watching it and I swear Colin didn't say anything, but I feel like he was watching me rewatch it going, how many times have you seen this? Like, why do you laugh every time?
I
Because
get
it's
the same
funny
thing.
every time.
Yeah. Even though you could recite it word for word,
Oh, of course.
but you're just like, it's still funny. When it's funny, it's funny. That's the thing.
Yeah, it's just how it is. Just how it is.
So the synopsis of this, just like we mentioned, it's the same one, identical one to, with a couple of changes to the lost pilot, is Lucy wants to be in Ricky's act. And when an injured Buffo the clown arrives at her apartment, she performs a slapstick routine with Ricky and a cello and impersonates a seal. All the things.
Just
Everyone is
everything.
shocked when a TV network offers her a contract.
Are they shocked though?
No.
Not horribly surprising.
No.
You look at Ricky, you look at Lucy. I'm sorry, but
She carried that entire episode. I mean,
oh
it
yeah.
was great. It was really, really good. So,
Before we get into the episode, I wanted to talk about just a few things that happened on the air date of the episode.
Okay.
So just a quick little cool thing. Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz appeared on the cover of Pre-National TV Guide. I think they were on the cover along with like Abbott and Costello and a other comedy. I can't remember off the
Bob
top of my
Hope
head, but we can
and
post it
Danny Thomas, yeah.
on Instagram. And then also the stage and screen actor Leon Errol died. He was 70 years old. Teeny, teeny little history about him. He was born in Sydney, Australia, July 3rd, 1881. Woo.
Yeah.
He died October 12th, 1951. He started out in vaudeville, which I feel like a lot of back then they
That was
started
a
out.
stepping stone of starting anything in
He
Hollywood.
was actually in a few short, like they were like short comedy shorts with Lucille Ball. He was in Perfectly Mismatched in 1934, and then One Live Ghost in 1936. He was in a bunch of movies. The first one, Yolanda, in 1924, and his last was Footlight Variants in 1951. And then he was married to Stella Catalini in
Okay.
1906. So that's just like a small, but they worked together, and he ended up passing away on the air date, so it's just something that I thought I would
That's
throw in.
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah,
And
I was gonna say fun fact, but that seems a bit morbid,
it's
so
not
just
very fun. No. So the guy died on premiere day. Oh.
sad fact.
So of course, like we mentioned, this was taken from the Lost Pilot, which was taken from the CBS convincing tour. That's just what I titled it just now, which is them wanting
Yes.
to convince CBS that yes, we are indeed, compatible on television, Lucy and Desi are, and that we can, play a married couple in the 50s as a Cuban and as an American woman, and make it funny. And of course, CBS was kind of like, oh, no, let's bring back your radio host,
Jeff. I can't remember his name.
So they went on tour. They, you know, hit the Roxy Theater in New York, Omaha, San Francisco. And so, of course, I think you and I have mentioned, and this is no surprise to anybody else, Lucy stole the spotlight even on their tour. I mean, she was, you know, doing all the gestures and the clowning, and they loved it. The audiences just loved it. And I've seen some of those clips from those days. I mean, the applause, they didn't know what they were going to become later on in life. So these applauses were just genuinely loving these two, you know?
Yes. And as you said, you know, almost the entire episode, you know, dialogue and all was taken from the unaired pilot. The big major change, you know, comes with Jerry the Agent lines mm-hmm. given to Fred Mertz. Now, I understand that they wanted to kind of be true to the pilot, which is why you don't see Ethel. I think that's just my guess. You know, Ethel is not in this episode at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right. She's mentioned, but she, you know, you don't see her. But it's just weird to me because Fred does play this sort of band leader role. He's there while, Ricky is, practicing mm-hmm. and he's there rehearsing, at night almost like he's the band leader, and it he doesn't come into that role.
I wish you could see my notes.
Very very long
my notes say for what you're mentioning, it says my particular note says, why is Fred randomly there?
Yes.
That's my note, because he's very informed of the talent scout coming or something, and or a television show. I'm sorry that I'm getting ahead of myself. The television show coming to see the audition. That's why the name of the episode. But Fred is very informed for just being his friend and landlord. And of course, they had to throw in the line. That's probably why they served up the line. How do you know that? Well, it's in Variety. So it's, you know, and then he's, like you said, he's like half band leader. Just
there
at the club. That's funny.
Another thing that I think they kind of did to keep I don't want to say authenticity of the pilot, but mm-hmm. to keep on that side is that, you know, we don't normally see the Ricardo's bathroom.
Yeah, I think it's only twice. I think they show it
twice, and the only one I can think at the top of my mind is when they break the lease. I'm sure there's another one, but that's the one that like sticks in my mind, you know, with the dripping faucet and everything.
Oh yeah.
But I think they did that because that's where you would get ready, you know, during the day. And they had similar scenes in the pilot. So I think that's why they ended up having those scenes in the bathroom.
So what's fun about that scene in the bathroom is, of course, she's trying to convince Ricky that for the television show, it'll never be a success because they don't have a beautiful woman modeling the products that they're trying to sell to the audience. And so, of course, with the digs, do you know anybody who can do that when she's serving herself up for the role?
Yes.
And so in that bathroom scene there's a part that was deleted in syndication because, you know, she's saying, you need a woman who's cooking it, who's tasting it, or who's trying to sell whatever product it is. And then she holds up a pack of cigarettes, and that's removed because it was then later sponsored by Philip Morris. But that's interesting because the DVD does have that part still in there.
It does have that part still in there. So I did mark that down too. I was like, oh, I got that.
Yeah. And did you notice how she kind of did it kind of stumbly? She was kind of like in shock, you know, like trying to hold up the box of cigarettes, like uncomfortable. I don't know if that was part of it or she actually forgot to do it.
Could have been either. And then another fun thing, this is, you know, during the whole her trying to get him, you know, to let her be in there, and she says, you know, I'll bet if Ziegfeld or Earl Carroll had seen me, they'd sign me up like that. And that's You know, and then she later she puts on the lampshade on her head and she struts in the living room. And she, what she's humming is A Pretty Girl Is Like a Melody, which is the signature song of the Ziegfeld Follies.
Oh, okay. The Ziegfeld Follies, yes. Ziegfeld mm-hmm. Follies.
Mm-hmm. And that, so that song was written by Irving Berlin. I'm really sorry. I'm bad with names. So, like, every time I come to a name, I'm like, I'm just afraid of, like, saying their name wrong. And a lot of these people have passed away, so they won't even be offended by it.
Yeah, no,
but they will I'm be still over it. Here like, oh, I don't want to get their name wrong. So in 1919, so Irving Berlin,
right,
and he became the theme song for the Broadway version of Ziegfeld Follies. And it didn't come, but it wasn't included in the 1946 MGM film, which Lucille Ball starred in, which I think is kind of ironic.
That's true. Yeah, and in this particular scene where it starts, which of course is the bathroom scene, but before that, two things stood out to me was the beds are together. And then later on in the episodes that follow and, you know, the years that follow, they're separate. But in this one, they're together. And then this is the first time we hear the song Babalu by Lucy. Because she's trying
and she's the one who sings it.
Yeah, she sings Babalu for the first time. She introduces it, which is really interesting. And the song Babalu wasn't Desi's song. It was a legendary Cuban folk song that's about an Afro-Cuban deity. And he's the god of illness and disease. Who knew? It's Babalu Aye, and that's the god of illness and disease. And in 1939, Miguelito Valdez made the song famous worldwide. Desi Arnaz and Valdez became friends in the 1940s after they left Cuba, and both worked with Xavier Cuga, who we've mentioned before. And Desi never denied that he was inspired by the original Señor Babalu, Miguelito Valdez, and he paid tribute to both of the men, Cuga and Valdez, by naming his successor on the poster in at the club.
Ricky asked for a raise. Yep.
Yeah, it's Xavier Valdez, which is both of the names. In like you said, Ricky asks for a raise. So that's fun. That whole web of information is fun to
know. It really is. It really is quite fun. Okay, this is super random, but you've got like all these facts, right? And my question is, what did she do with the pillows? What'd she do with them? Why was she taking them off? When you make the bed, do you take the pillows off the bed?
Yes.
I can maybe see them, her like fluff them up and then put them back, but you take them off the bed for the day?
Oh, you mean like take them off, then walk away? Is that what you mean?
Oh, I was like, where'd she put the pillows? What'd she do with the pillows?
I'm going into history back. And this is the stuff that keeps Ziva up at night. She's like, but the pillows, y'all. The pillows. Yeah. I don't understand. They just went into the ether.
Did she just like chuck them and she was walking away? Like, don't need these.
I don't know. I'll put in a call to the whoever has these original films and ask them where's the pillows. So like we mentioned, they're in the bathroom shaving, and I love that she follows along and does exactly mm-hmm. what he's doing. Mm-hmm. That's funny. And the smoking. And here's where I get kind of see, I think you're known for doing this on our episodes, is getting on little soapboxes. I'm gonna do one for a second, just for all the women in the audience.
Oh, okay, good.
Hey, girl. So the stereotypes of the housewives that follows when she tells them she wants to be part of the show. I just want you to cook, clean, bring me my slippers when I get home, be the mother to. That's it. That's your identity, sir.
It's what you do.
You have no idea what she's about to do. So. It was just very creepy, very, you know, I don't know. I didn't appreciate
it. No. I get it. It's a, you know, and I have a whole thought about that, you know, the idea of like a housewife, but it's actually still a movement, like not a movement, but women want to be in that role. And for those women, I say, you know, that's, there's no judgment at all, but that is your choice.
Yes. Yeah,
at
I think
that time, it wasn't the choice of the woman. You know, that's what role you had to play, and you didn't really have a choice in whether you wanted to play it or not.
Right.
And not so, by play, but if that's what, how you wanted to live your life.
Right. Yes. And so I think what bothered me most is just the idea that she is telling him she has this dream, this desire, and he's not, let's try it. Now, if you fail, then okay, but at least I'm giving you, see, he has the opportunity, and the options are huge that he has to let his wife try certain things, even if she fails. But he kept, you know, kind of keeping her, you know, trying to anyway, because otherwise we wouldn't have a whole show. So trying to keep her as the housewife, just bring me my slippers. And
And I also want to point out that time and time again, she like outshines him in the show.
Yeah.
I'm like, so is he just doing it because he wants to be in the spotlight and he thinks that it's the man's job? Who knows? Who knows? But
oh, I think it's just being set up to show that that's not who she is. She cannot be this person, even though he's fighting for it. But just a little thing. All right, I'm coming down. Let's move.
Coming off. Okay, I'll move to a less soapboxy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is a goof. Maybe it's not. But when she takes the lampshade off and puts it on her head, there's not a light. And again, I ask, where's the light bulb?
Hold on.
Where's
a second.
The pillows?
I'm writing
where's
this down. The light bulb? I'm writing this down. Where are the pillows? Where's the light bulb? These
you
are
would
things...
think if you had a lamp in your room, you'd have a light bulb in it so you think. Can read. But yeah, but maybe
listen,
they don't want one.
You know, don't judge another person's light bulbs or lack thereof. So in this one is where we hear, which I always love, is one of the first dunt joke when he says don't and she says dunt and for the accent. This is one of the first times, you know, I hear her kind of make fun of him, which I love. And and the first time she mentions that she dyes her hair, she lets it slip out that she dyes her hair.
And I love because she does this so many times. She's like, you know, I have to go get my hair dyed, washed. You know,
her eyes get all big. Yeah.
The next part is the Wills. So Fred comes in. I almost called him Frank. Fred comes in.
You can know my Frank.
Frank? Frankie? No, Frankie. I don't know. No. I don't know what I'm doing.
It's a day.
It's a day, Fred comes in, says, plays this really weird manager role that he never plays again. Not never, but takes a long time for him to get there. And he says, you know, it's the day. And then he also brings their Wills. And so that is the only overlap between this episode.
He brings the mail and says he accidentally read it and it's Wills for for Ricky and Lucy.
But this is the overlap that comes with the Wills from My Favorite Husband.
Right.
So it's this one scene and then there's no more overlap in this episode for that show. But you know, again, in the same sense, he sends her away. And that scene is pretty much the same. Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
the Wills, pretty much sends her down to downtown to kind of deliver the Wills to kind of get her away from the audition because it's now no longer a secret. It's now written in Variety. So, of course, she'll get her hands on it and want to make an appearance because she's told him she wants to do that.
He's absolutely not.
Mm-mm.
So I wanted to talk before we get into the next scene, which would be where they're rehearsing with Buffalo Bowl. I don't remember.
It's his name
with the Buffalo. He's now the Buffalo. Running with the Buffaloes.
This is a weird
Uh, No, I just wanted to talk about Pepito the clown, because he was not in this show. That was another big difference. They couldn't get him to play this. He had other engagements at the time.
And he was the one that was in the last pilot.
He was, yes. Mm-hmm. Pepito. He is the one who taught Lucy and Desi the professor routine.
Yes.
So he appeared in Lucy's show Biz Swang Song.
Yeah.
And he also was the offstage cry for an infant little Ricky.
Oh.
Did you? So apparently his creepy cry works out if you don't see him doing it.
I'm going to hear that in my dreams, that cry. It's really...
You're going to watch the episode of with little Ricky and you're going to go, oh my goodness.
That's Pepito the clown.
You obviously know it's a fake cry, but then all you're going to see is Pepito's face.
The one with the clown makeup.
With the babe.
That's some weird fetishy thing. I'm moving on. Okay.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, and then lastly about Pepito, I just want to say it's creepy, but we like him. I mean, I think
he was good.
It was just creepy. The episode. He's a clown, right?
Yes.
So he also created the loaded cello.
Yes, the one she uses.
Which has the plunger, the stand, the, mm-hmm. the bow. And it was rediscovered in 2005. And inside of it was a telegram from Lucy and Desi.
I saw that.
Yeah. And it was basically thanking him for his help. It just said, we love you very much and appreciate you even more, Lucy and Desi. And so you can actually see the cello and everything in it at the Lucy Desi Museum in Chainstown, New York. Have you been there?
I haven't. That's a goal. I know a lot of people who are listening.
We have to go there.
Have gone. I've seen the photos. I am dying with envy. I would absolutely love to go see that. And that's a bucket list. And we will broadcast live from there. Write this down, Ziva. We're going to do this. And
fine lights, fine pillows, go to museum. That's the list for today.
And so with the Pepito, let's keep going with this guy. He was actually a good friend of Desi's. They would go fishing together, and he mm-hmm. actually performed for the Queen of England and the King of Spain. He spent 2 weeks, like you mentioned, teaching Desi and Lucille the routine, 8 hours a day at the Coronado Hotel, which, by the way, is absolutely beautiful. And it's down in San Diego. Teaching them the routine, which is just fascinating to imagine the three of them just rehearsing this at the Coronado Hotel.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, he really did help them quite a bit with their act and everything. So I think he picked a good act for them to do together.
So in this one, when Lucy, well, first it's the rehearsal. That is the following scene where we spoke of, and where Buffo is injured.
Yes.
And so when he's injured, he then goes to the Ricardo apartment to kind of rest up and get better, because Ricky thinks that Lucy is still out delivering the wills on that wild goose chase. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he goes over to their apartment, and that was a move, because he told Lucy all about it.
Well, yeah, and then he gets injured. And so in the pilot, I don't know if she purposefully does it or it's an accident, but she actively causes his second injury, because she's like stands up and the boxes move and then he runs into them, or like he swerves to not hit the box or ottoman or whatever that she was sitting on when she stands up and pushes it.
So it felt like it was purposely placed there for that accident to happen.
Kind of, yeah. But in this one, that wasn't the case. And I almost felt like I liked that a little bit better, because it seemed less, and I don't know if that's what they were trying to do, but it was like, it almost seems like she thought about it and was like, if I push this, he might have to swerve and then get injured again. And they probably don't want to make her that.
Look back at the lost pilot and kind of tweaked things that didn't look very good. And
maybe sit well.
Sit well with others. And so so he goes over to the apartment and tells her you know, why don't you take my place? And of course, the wheels in her head start turning, which is great. And so she takes his place. And one of the best, most favorite scenes of the entire series for me is her dress as the professor. Although, have we ever made a correlation of why she's a professor who's there to audition for a musician spot? What kind of professor is she?
Maybe she's a professor of music. Oh,
write this down. Pillows, light bulbs. What kind of professor is she?
Museum.
Museum.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's just like the title. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
the kid, and it's like a grown man. I don't know.
So it worked well, the baggy costume she had on for the professor, because she was hiding the fact that she was 6 months pregnant with Lucy.
Right. In the first, because she's not pregnant in this one.
No. I mean, in the first.
But in the first one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when, you know, when he asks to see her credentials, is it?
Yeah.
And asks if she has experience. When she pulls that blazer.
Yeah.
You can see that she's got a much thinner
build
in this one. But yeah, it definitely worked out to kind of hide how pregnant she was in the first one. And so
after they do the scene of the you know, she comes in, she does the raspy manly voice, the deep manly voice, which I've heard her do so many times on other television shows, like when she's doing you know, What's My Line and things like that, she goes into that same character. And what I love is that in it, you are, unlike the one where the Lucy and Ethel are dates, clearly that's them when they open up the door. So you're supposed to, you know, suspend your imagination as to, ooh, who are these two women, right? But in this, I love that immediately Ricky's face tells you, the audience, that he knows it, you know,
it's his
wife, and we're about to do a thing.
Right. And I think, to be fair, he does a good job with just playing along with it in the moment. You know, this is what I was looking for. I don't know why I wanted to see it written down, but the saxovibratronophobinage.
I see.
It's like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, except
I can't say that one.
Saxovibratronophobinage.
Yeah, and then she makes that word into a song, which I love. She goes into dance.
So the tune that she honks out on that is "How Dry I Am."
Mm-hmm.
The near future. It was written by Irving Berlin again in 1919. Roots in prohibition, time when alcohol was illegal. And the word "dry" refers to sober. That's just kind of cool. And that actually was used again. I don't think I wrote down in my notes.
You mean that same song?
What? No, that instrument, like that act.
Oh, okay. When she's, yeah.
And I think it changes the name. It was renamed the Grandma Sex of... I can't even say that one.
Wow.
But it was renamed something else.
Okay.
And she did that on the Bob Hope Chevy show in October of 1956. So
yes, I did see. Now, we're probably going to do a rundown of this episode. I'm sure you've seen it. And I'm sure a lot of Lucy fans have the same exact feeling. This is a total side note, so let's just, you know, put it aside in a second. But it's the Bob Hope show, the Chevy show, and where Ethel plays Ricky's wife and Lucille is Bob's wife. And the only part that makes me uncomfortable is the whole Ethel kissing Ricky part. I don't know if you've ever seen that thing.
I have.
I purposely don't watch it just for that. Is that weird?
It is kind of weird. I think, you know, you spend you're used to what is,
yeah, so it's a little so
ingrained, and you know, they are actresses, you know. It's kind of like when they do the whole show that Lucy writes. I am the good prince.
Yes.
Lancelot.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes.
And then Ethel he has to, like,
princess.
Fall in love with the... So, yeah. I'm sorry. I really like that one.
we'll get to that.
Just thinking about it. We'll get to that one.
We'll get to that. So what we didn't mention is who Buffalo Clown is. That actor was Pat Moran, and he yes. had circus skills, and he also played a clown again. And like you mentioned, no, you didn't mention. You just mentioned Bob Hope in the 1953 film Here Comes the Girls and the 1958 Cary Grant movie Houseboat. And he starred in Something to Sing About with Bill Frawley. So there's the connection there. And Hugs and Hugs with the Three Stooges. So he had an extensive career as well.
Yes. And so that was pretty cool. It was, you know, since they didn't get Pepito, it was cool. And it doesn't seem like the word I want to use, but they got him, and that was awesome. I don't know. But another cool thing is that Jess Oppenheimer, Harry Ackerman, and Hall Hudson were in the episode.
Yeah, yeah, where they said.
And I think that's really cool with the grim faced sponsors.
Yeah, the CBS executives.
Yeah, like, the CBS execs.
For them, that's hilarious. Yeah.
So I think that was, it was kind of fun to see them in the episode, you know.
And so she also brought back that professor character for a 1964 Jack Benny program, doing pretty much the same, you know, the comic business that she created in 1950, even getting on her knees pretending to be a trained seal. So she did that seal thing quite a few times.
Yes,
I was not aware, but that's really cool.
There is 8, is it millimeter color video footage of this show that someone took. I don't think it's of the whole show, but they would like bring up their video camera.
You mean like in real time, somebody from the audience?
Yes.
Okay.
Someone from the audience took video of this.
Wow.
Show. You can see it, so we'll post it. It's actually in like the bonus features on the DVD mm-hmm. DVDs. So they obviously found out, but it's pretty cool because you get to see, you know, real time what was going on.
Yeah, that's really awesome to watch.
Yeah,
that in person.
It was. So we're definitely gonna post that. And so okay, last scene of the episode, you know, Lucy gets the contracts. We get that whole line about, you know, cleaning, and she's like, I've been cleaning, and then puts his slippers on that he never wears.
What I love is she's still wearing the costume underneath.
Yes,
I think it's an apron.
Under the apron.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then that line, you know, about how she's got something to tell him.
Oh yeah.
And yeah. He's like, oh really? And she said, yeah, I made your favorite pie.
Yeah, he thinks she's pregnant, and it's a whole thing. Yeah. But
I do want to say that I think this is a great time to talk about milk.
No one, absolutely no one. Here comes Eva.
No, you don't think so? This would be a perfect time. Like, he's a little bit angry and be like, hey, let me get you some milk.
All right.
Milk, dear? Okay, so hear me out.
Sure.
I was talking to my mom. A few things. I told her about how I thought she should have said milk deer instead of sugar deer.
Right.
And that might have gotten his attention. I put
that's
that
true.
On the comments, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I was talking, and I don't know what our audience is like, but if there's children listening, maybe mute for a little bit. She's like, oh no, what's happening? Okay, but as a mother with a child, sometimes it's hard to, you know, tell your significant other when you might be interested in anything. And okay. So I just feel like this would be a great thing to just randomly be like, could I get you some milk? Milk, dear?
Wow. This took a turn.
Was it really that far off from what we were first talking from? It's not a big, it's a tiny skip to where I got to.
So, ladies and gentlemen, what Ziva's trying to say is if you want to convey a message of romance to your partner, just offer them a glass of milk.
Yeah, just ask if they want some milk.
What if they actually did want milk, though? What if your husband's like, yeah, I'm having this brownie here. I would love a glass. And it just totally gets lost.
Something might be wrong if you just like, and they're like, no, that's not what I want. I wanted milk. I wanted actual milk. Please.
You forgot that he's lactose intolerant. And what a mess. What's going on over there in that household?
No, but I want a shirt. I want us to get a shirt that says milk deer ?
I'm gonna copyright
milk deer.
And only the insiders will know what that means. And yes, Ziva, because Ziva's exactly losing and her me. Mind over there.
Listen, I will buy that shirt and I will wear it
proudly
around the house.
My next tattoo.
Proudly.
Oh my goodness.
That might be a little too far. Okay.
Oh, that's too far.
The shirt isn't permanent. Tattoo's permanent.
That's true. Okay. And it's that scene where she's saying sugar deer and she's got her leg up in the air. She's got the fancy dress on and instead she's offering.
That would be a perfect time to be like milk deer.
Yeah. We can get some sort of meme or logo. We can talk about this after. But
we'll talk about this after.
Coming soon. Milk deer.
We'll post
merch
something.
Is
we'll
what you're
post something.
Say.
We'll say, will you buy this? You can tell us if that's something you'd be interested in.
It's like 95% no. What is that? 5%
me. 1%. We get 1%. Yes. And we're doing it. It's working.
That's crazy.
Good
stuff.
All right. Well
that was it. The audition.
That was so.
And the end of this show or something.
Maybe.
Thank
you, guys.
We're going
to get messages being like, excuse me, turn it down a little bit.
You want to put an explicit warning on that podcast, not PG-13. Yeah. Wow.
Listen, I warned. I warned. Yeah. Mute.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening and hanging out with us today, talking about the audition.
Thanks for enjoying
and
I don't know if it's enjoying, but you're sticking with us, so
if you made it this far, you like something. But I can't stress enough, and I think I've said this so many times, it's like a broken record, the community that we've joined is just so nice and so engaging, and we're just so thankful because we're just started. We're close to 2,000 downloads at this point that you're listening to us, and that's crazy because when we first talked about it, we were like, how many people do you think are going to listen to this? And don't think that way.
Two. I would have been happy with two.
Just you and me and our parents.
Yeah. You know what? My parents don't actually listen to this podcast. So first of all, hurt. I was like, hey, Mom, have you listened to any of the episodes? And she was like, no. I was like, all right, well.
Thanks, Mom.
Then this milk is going to, I'm going to need to explain everything to you. You should have just listened to the podcast.
Oh, wow.
But, no support. I feel the love. Of course, now, I feel like I can be a little bit more open about talking about things.
Yeah.
But the time that I finally tell a story about my family, my mom's going to be like, I listened to this episode.
The one episode she
chooses.
We need
to talk. Yes.
She chooses. She's never going to look at milk the same. That's what we're getting at.
Exactly.
Is your mom is now.
Okay. Theirs was omelet. Do you want an omelet? That was their thing.
Ziva's mama is talking about omelets and she's referring to
And I'm talking
else.
About milk. So it's... It runs in the family, I guess.
Food. Wow.
Anyways, on that note, guys, if you enjoy listening to us chit-chat about something we really love and enjoy learning and rewatching with us, if you could give us a like or you know, write a review. That would be awesome. If you have anything that you want, you know,
covered,
us to cover, or anything we missed, any trivia, and even like suggestions. We had someone suggest that we introduce ourselves, and we hadn't been doing that.
We dropped the ball. Yeah, we
were like, that's a good idea.
Welcome back. Who are these two weirdos talking to us about all things Lucille Ball?
Yeah. So it's a good idea. So thank you for that suggestion. So just send them our way. We read all the messages. We try to get back to everyone. So thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. So find us on all social media platforms, all your streaming services under Having a Ball Podcast, Having a Ball Pod, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the things. And our email is havingaballpod@gmail.com. So with that, thank you, guys, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.